I remember several years ago when Paula and I was out at a store. It may have been Walmart, it may have been Target, wherever we were at. And I remember so clearly, I don't remember where we were at, exactly whether it was Target or Walmart, but I do remember the punishment that this little girl got from her mother. I know that as Paul and I was walking through the aisles and we were doing our part, I remember this little girl wanted something that mom had said, no, you're not going to be getting that. And the little girl became very unhappy, was very displeased with her mom's decision. And I remember her mom had these flip-flops. She had picked them up, and I thought, man, that sure brings it home. It's something like my mom would do or did. And I remember, boom, she separated those things, and she spanked that little girl on the bottom of the flip-flop, gave her about two or three licks, and I thought, well, this is not going to end well. And the little girl looks and points to her mom and says, God saw you do that. And, you know, and I thought, you know what, that is a pretty cool little setup. And then I'm not sure if the little girl's still living today or not. But anyway, regardless, you know, God saw. The little girl gave a pretty firm, pretty strong message. God saw you do that. I was thinking about that the other day when I was just going back and kind of remembering different things that has happened and having reflections on things that make us laugh, and I remember that was certainly one of them. And as I was thinking about that little girl pointing a little finger at mom and saying, God saw you do that, I thought, you know what, that is pretty serious in a spiritual sense as well. And I hope that each and every one of us understand today that as children of the Most High God, for those of us that have put on the breastplate of righteousness and trying and striving to live our lives for Jesus Christ, we need to understand that God sees and God knows it all. Amen? God sees everything. He knows exactly what our thoughts are. He knows exactly what our motives are. He knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows every single thing. So let me remind myself and you, let us remind us together that God sees every single thing. There is one thing for certain that every single human being, I was going to say that we as Christians should know, but that every single human being, accountable human being, must know and remember, and that is that God is watching your life, and that not only is God watching your life, but those that are about you is watching your life. Does that make sense? That is why it's so important when we talk about us, you and me together, being members of the body of Christ, and we're talking about being members of the Lord's church, how it's so important that you and I live our life in a manner that is conducive to what the Scripture says, because if we're proclaiming Christianity and we're telling individuals out there that we are children of God, that we are Christians, and then the things that we say and the things that we do doesn't coincide with the Scripture, it can blow our testimony. Does that make sense? And it can discredit not only yourself as a Christian, but can also bring reproach upon the church. That is why I think it is so important that you and I remember what we see in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. That familiar passage, brothers and sisters, that we look at quite often. The Bible says to let your light so before that they may see your glorifying your Father. And where is He? Our Father is in heaven. I like what Brother Larry referred to heaven as the other day. That's our corporate office, isn't it? That is where the ultimate judge is. That is where our mediator, John. That's where our lawyer, Jesus Christ, is. So we want to be sure that we're letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works, the things that we are involved in, not so that we can get a pat on the back, but that God is glorified in all that we say and all that we do. Does that make sense? So listen closely for a moment. There are many things, many sins that we as Christians can sometimes find ourselves involved in. Many things that you and I may think that we can hide from the John Q. public. And we may hide it from one another, but I assure you that your sins will find you out. Do you agree with that? Our sins will certainly seek us out, and they will find us. And let me remind you again that God sees it all. God saw what each and every one of us do. God sees everything. When we think about these things, I can't forget what happened in the past when God saw what took place in Genesis chapter 3 around verses 1 through 12, 1 through 14. I can't help but to remember how God saw, what was the two people's name back in the Garden of Eden? Was it Frank and Joanne? Oh, Adam and Eve, big deal. Okay, I missed it. So we have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve was told, said, look, here's what you can do and this is what you can't do. I'm going to paraphrase it. And what did they do? You know, said you can take and eat of any tree you want. You can do anything you want. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not what? You shall not even what? touch it. Leave it alone. Well, then who came into the picture, Teresa? Satan came into the picture in the form of a what, brothers and sisters? In the form of a serpent, in the form of a snake. And he came to Eve. Did he deceive her? Did she take part of that? And did she give to her husband? And did he stop her in her track and say, no, I'm not doing that? No, he shared in that iniquity, didn't he? And we know that as a result, death reigns this very day. Is that right? Is that right? All right, so we know, and God saw what happened. Maybe Adam and Eve didn't think that he did, because they went out and they tried to hide from the Lord, didn't they? They tried to cover themselves up, so to speak. Is that what people are doing today? They try to cover up their sin. I did this or I said that. And then we immediately begin to try to justify what we did. There's a reason that I said what I said. If you hadn't have provoked me or she hadn't have said that or they hadn't have done this, I would have never done that on my own accord. Yes, you would have. The reality is God sees every single thing that we do and we cannot hide it. He sees what's inside of our heart, doesn't he? And he knows what's going on in their life. He saw what happened with Adam and Eve. He also saw Sarah. And Brother Larry was teaching me about this just a couple of weeks ago, about how Sarah mistreated Hagar. You can read of that as well. And how that was just unjustly done to her. And then how Sarah was very rude to her and kind of mistreated her in that. That wasn't cool. You think God saw that? You think God saw that happen? You think he witnessed it? Absolutely. And then we can think about Moses. Y'all remember when Moses killed this Egyptian? Do you remember that? And then Moses thankfully did create a banner and says, hey, I just killed an Egyptian. Somebody say, no, he didn't, Brother Jerry. Very good. No, he didn't do that. Did he try to hide what he did? He went out and what did he do with that Egyptian? Buried the Egyptian. That's right. So he didn't think anybody would see him. But guess who saw him? God saw him. So let me remind you and me again that God sees it all. God knows everything. Amen? Just as a reminder. We also know that God saw the building of the Tower of Babel over in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. We know that the Tower of Babel was being built. And they were trying to build a place so they could climb their way into where? They wanted to climb their way unto heaven. They thought, just like many people do today, that they can find a different route unto heaven. We often criticize. When we look back in the book of Genesis chapter 11, and we look at those particular verses, we think, Brother Jerry, how in the world could anybody do something like that? Surely they wasn't that silly. Surely they wasn't that foolish. We'll look at the people in our world today that think they can find another way unto heaven. I think about what God's Word says in John 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the what? No man come to the Father, finish it up, except through me. So it is through Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, that one enters the kingdom of heaven. So next time you're ready to criticize what they were doing at the Tower of Babel, maybe we need to look into our own lives and make sure that we are not one of those people building on the tower. Amen? Let's make sure that we're not one of those people that are guilty and trying to find another way to heaven. I think about Aaron over in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 1 through 10, maybe a little bit more if you want to read that whole thing a little bit later. And how Aaron and his crew, they went out. What did they do? They built a silver. It was silver. I read it this. Harvey's like, no, sir, it was golden calf, wasn't it? And so what did they do with that golden calf? They wanted to bow down and what? You ought to have corrected me. They didn't want to bow down and worship. They were bowing down and worshiping, wasn't they? And the Lord, what did the Lord say? He said, get down there with those stiff-necked people before I take them out of the picture. And I did paraphrase that, but that's what he meant, wasn't it? Before my what burns against them. Matt, do you remember the word? Wrath burns against them. Their iniquity is going to cause them some death. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Here they were at the bottom of the mountain, Brother Larry, but God saw exactly what they were doing. Isn't that right? God sees people today that are caught up in idols, and there's all type of idols going on today, idol worship. Sporting events has taken over Christianity, and for so many people, not for us, but for so many people. There are people today, and this is what I will never understand. There are people that will sit in a stadium at a sporting event and it is 101 degrees with the heat index. It's 112, and they'll sit there with their little visors on and they're just really cool all the way. But if the church building is warmer than 72 degrees, then you know what? It is just too hot in there. I can't go in there. And I had to park all the way at the end of this 50-foot parking lot. Be it they'll walk a mile and a half to go to a sporting event. Maybe I don't understand that. Maybe it's my immaturity. I'm not sure what it is. But maybe people's priorities are out of whack. What do you think? Could be? All right. But Aaron made a golden calf. God see what was going on with that. Do you think over in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, do you think that God saw what was going on with Ananias and Sapphira? When they went and sold their land, you think that, Ma? You believe that? In Acts 5, you think I'm playing with you? You think it's for real? Think it's for real? All right, yeah, God saw them. Ananias and Sapphira sold land, brought it back, laid the money at the apostles' feet. I just personally don't have a struggle with that. I think they did a pretty good job. Until they what? Thank you, Bobby. Until they lied. It was up to them whether they wanted to give that 50-cent piece or give a $5 bill, wasn't it? But the problem was that it's not what they gave, it's how they gave it. They gave it in a, starts with an L, a lie. They gave it in deception. They didn't lie to man. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to God. Does that make sense? Judas Iscariot was one that God saw what was going on. And I want you to think about the pain that God must have suffered with that. That Judas Iscariot sold his only begotten son, God's only begotten son, for 30 pieces of silver. For the riches of the world. And God witnessed that. God does see it all. Amen? Let's get into our points. Three short points that I want you and me to consider, and then this lesson will belong to you. The first point I want us to examine is found in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Would everybody go there with me? The book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, you're probably there already, which is good stuff. Here's your first point. Listen to me. Remembering that God sees it all, and we all agree with that, God sees how we all behave. He sees how we carry ourselves, doesn't he? I'm going to start that all over because only two people is with me. When we think about how God sees it all, God sees how we carry ourselves. He sees how we behave, right? Okay, just want to make sure that y'all sticking with me. So we might be able to hide the way we act from others. I can hide the way I act from you, and you can hide the way you act from me because we're really not each other's judge, are we? But remember, Velma, we cannot hide from God, can we? Remember, Cynthia, God sees every single thing. So what you did yesterday about 9:15, God saw it, didn't he? What I did this morning at 9:21, God saw that. That thought I had last night when the person wouldn't let me pull into traffic like I wanted to, he knew that thought I had, didn't he? He knew that on road rage that Amy does when she's out driving, my daughter-in-law, the way, I better watch, we've got a lot of Amy's in here. But Amy Ladd Courier, this girl, the beautiful one right over here, where they're all beautiful, I'm getting in trouble. But anyway, the way my daughter-in-law drives, that's the way I'll word it. Can you just imagine, Amy, remember, God sees this. And I might be in trouble as well. All right, but we do know that God sees us all. He sees the way we behave. He knows how we carry ourselves. That's why it's important that we remember the book of Colossians chapter 3 down in verse 17. Everybody ready for that one? The Bible says, in whatever you do in word or do all in the name of who? And what else are you supposed to do? To who? God, the Father, through Him, the Bible says. So when we are at work, when you're there at the office, when you're there at the warehouse, whether you're there, wherever you're working, whatever you're doing, God knows exactly how we're behaving, doesn't He? God sees the way we're carrying ourselves. I want us, every one of us, to think back over the past few days, maybe go back over the past few weeks, and if you want to, be a little soul searching and go back over the last year. How happy would you say that God is in the way that you've carried yourself? How happy would you say that God is by the things that you've said, by the things that you've done, by the way that you've acted, by the way that you've reacted? That question is directly toward me. So how do you think that God would be pleased? Do you think that He would be pleased in the very way that we've been acting or behaving? Have we conducted ourselves conducive to that of being a child of Almighty God? You and I, brothers and sisters, we must remember that God sees His children. Amen? It's just like us, those of us that are parents and those of us that are grandparents. We're going to keep an eye on our children, aren't we? We're going to keep an eye on our grandchildren the same way, and even more so, the way God keeps His eyes upon us. Does that make any sense? Head over in the book of Matthew. Let me show you something else. Matthew chapter 12. Let me show you this. That's the way I cry every time I get my NES bill right there. Every single time. Watch Amy be an employee at National Electric after I said that. All right, Matthew chapter 12, 36 and 37. I want us to once again remember that God sees exactly what's going on. Does He hear the way we talk? Does He see the way we walk? Does He see the way we respond to people? Does He see that sometimes we're really nice to people and other times we might be a little bit short? Does He see sometimes we might be really friendly and other times very aggressive and abrasive? So let that be just a reminder to all of us that we are children of God. And we should be acting as much as we can just like His Son Jesus, shouldn't we? We should be emulating Jesus Christ in everything that we say and do. God sees and hears the way we talk. He sees whether we are representing Him or whether we're representing who. That's right, Harvey. So we either represent God or we're representing the devil. Do we all understand that God hears every word that proceeds from our mouth? Do we understand that? In Matthew chapter 12, 36 and 37, the Bible says, "But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will, look at this, give an account for it on what day? On judgment day." Very good. Go to 37. "For by your words you will be what? Justified. By your words you'll also be what? Very good. So we need to be extremely careful, oh little tongue, what we say. Isn't that right? Now I know sometimes being immature, somebody crosses me in a way that I'm uncomfortable with, I want to say something because I feel like that just gives that final justice. I have to say something. No, I don't. I don't have to respond in a negative way anytime somebody approaches me negative, do I? Why can't I be like more like Jesus Christ, Rob? Why can't we do what Jesus did? You remember when they put Him on the cruel cross at Calvary? They mocked Him. They spat up on Him. They scourged Him 40-1. They beat Him right to the point of death. They crushed those crown of thorns down into His brow, peeled skin off of His back. After all of that, then you know what Jesus said while His arms was outstretched? He said, "Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And yet, remember last night, I'm aggravated because I couldn't get in front of that Mercury marquee. Remember that how aggravated I am because my utility bill came a little higher than I thought it should have. Remember how I was a little aggravated because somebody threw a can out in my front yard as they passed by my house. I wonder how many times I've littered in my lifetime. But that's different if I throw it out. It didn't land in my yard. You know, we try to justify what we say and do, don't we? God sees how we behave. He knows our inner thoughts. We need to be sure and careful about verse 37. "For by your words you will be justified. By your words," the Bible says, "you will be condemned." So let's be very careful with the way we carry ourselves. Is that about right? God also sees how we are conducting ourselves. So be careful in our everyday talk. Let our speech be seasoned with salt. Let our speech be a preserver of God's great mercy and the great love that He has for us. Going back to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, look with me at verses 5 and 6. The scripture says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the what?" Here we go. Y'all ready for number 6? The scripture says, "Let your speech," give me the next word. This is the main part of this verse. "Always be what? With grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer one another." I believe that passage of Scripture alone. I believe, seriously speaking, I know you'd have enjoyed it because it would have been a quick service, but I believe I could have got up today, read that verse, and then offered the invitation. Do you agree with that? That verse has that much of an impact in our lives, and it should be life-changing, just like all the Scripture should be life-changing. So let your speech always be with grace. Let it always represent our Heavenly Father. Is that all right with everybody? Good. Your second point is going to be a little bit like the first. Not only does He see how we carry ourselves, which was point one. Secondly, we need to remember that God sees the way that we live, doesn't He? He sees the way that we live. Do I live my life daily for Jesus Christ? That is a question that you ask yourself. Do I live my life daily for our Heavenly Father? As we said a few moments ago, God hears our words. And He hears them very clearly. He sees how we behave. But we also need to remember that God sees how we live our lives. He sees our everyday walk of life while we're outside of the church building. Isn't it easy to live a Christian life right here? Four people says it is. Isn't it easy to live as a Christian right inside here? You know why? Because we're in somewhat of a controlled environment, aren't we? We've all got pretty much the same thing in common. We come here to worship God, to give back to God, to pray to our Heavenly Father, to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord, to partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering the great sacrifice that was given. We came here for that reason, to worship Almighty God and do what John 4:24 says. God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's why I came here today. Why did you come here today? Same reason? Why did you come here today? Same reason? All right, to come to worship Almighty God. I didn't come to be worshiped, but to give worship. Is that all right? All right, it better be. That's what the Lord says. So as we said a little bit ago, God hears the words and knows exactly what's going on. Does He see us when God looks into our lives and He sees how we're living? Does He see us reconciled to Him? Does He see us made even, straightening things up, not even with Him on His level, but does He see us washed in His blood? Does He see us redeemed because Jesus Christ is our Redeemer? I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 down in verse 17 where the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become what? All things have become new. Then we can go over to the book of Titus. Anybody ever heard of Titus? Titus chapter 2 verses 11 through 15. I was hoping you'd say yes. This was in last week's lesson. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, God's great word says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many people? All right. Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That means right now, doesn't it? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for who, brothers and sisters? That He might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for Himself His own special people. Matter of fact, the Bible says zealous for what? For good works. Y'all ready for 15? The Bible says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one what? Let no one despise you. So as verse 12 said, live soberly, live righteously in the present age. So friends, brothers and sisters, when you fire up that cigarette, Christ knows it and He smells it, doesn't He? When we partake of that alcohol, Christ knows it and He hates it. When we're involved with that bad speech and the things come out of our mouth that shouldn't come out of our mouth, God hears it, God hates it, doesn't He? We're touching little sore spots, aren't we? When we're involved in ungodly activities, God knows that and He hates that too. When Christians forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, God knows that, and it hurts Him, doesn't it? Because He's thinking, you know what? I gave my Son for this group, and this is what they think of me? That I gave my only begotten Son from the comfort and splendor of heaven to leave a place so peaceful, to go to a place full of turmoil and strife and deception and aggravation and murder, and the list is endless. And then Jesus gave His life for these people, and this is what they think of me, that people have to be begged and pleaded and pampered and have to have candy given to them and flowers sent to them and cards given to them just for them to come around and worship God. Something is wrong, brothers and sisters. Amen. We need to get back to it. God sees the way that we're living. Why do people today have to be begged and pleaded with just to do what God is calling them to do? If you love the Heavenly Father, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my what? You'll keep my commandments. So don't make the preacher call and beg you to come to church. Don't make other people have to send those letters to you constantly and begging you to come. It is your salvation that depends upon that. Do we get it? I'm not trying to be mean. I love you. I want us to share heaven together. But there's so many people in my own family. I had a conversation this morning with people in my own family who's just forsaken the assembling. What are we doing? Well, we're having a Sunday grill out. Oh, well, that's fun. But I remember the grill doesn't work past 11, does it? So you have to do it early in the morning because the grill won't work in the evening. Well, we're doing this and we're doing that. Well, heaven forbid, let's put God first and foremost in our life. But when that death comes again, and when there's problems about in our family, I bet you a Sprite, Dr. Pepper, and two Diet Cokes, those same ones, will be in fervent prayer, right? Heavenly prayer to the Father. Isn't that about right? Isn't that kind of what we do? Isn't that kind of what we do as nature? Yeah, it is. So I'm not trying to be mean. What I'm simply saying is, let's live for Jesus every single day. God knows what's in our life and He knows what's in our heart. Let's make sure that our love is for the Father. You don't have to beg me to come to church. I'm going to be here, God willing. Amen? And I want to come here because I don't want to be worshipped. I don't want to be served. I come here to serve. And if we're coming here to get served, you got the wrong idea, baby. Wrong idea. We need to come up here. As soon as I say you can come forth, come right there or that side. And we'll have a talk and I'll show you some scripture. John, we didn't come here to get served, did we? We come here to serve God, didn't we, brother? That's why John is here. That's why Blake is here. That's why Teresa and Paula. That's why Carolyn and every one of us here. Amy, all of us, all the way around. That's why we're here today. Is everybody good with that? Can I go to the next point? All right. So your first one, God sees how we behave. He sees the way that we live, which was kind of redundant to the first one. And we need to remember what the Bible says over in the book of Proverbs. Let me close this part out with you, and then we'll head on to that last one. Is that all right with you? Is that all right with you? Good. Proverbs chapter 6, 12 through about 19. Just remember that throughout our walk in this life, the Lord has given us, He has given us this blessing of life, that He sees exactly how we're living, Brother Larry. I was told a while back when I was preaching at the College Grove Church of Christ by one of the elders, says, Jerry, do not use the word hate. I said, really? And that's what he said. And I said, well, I beg to differ because God uses the word hate. And he goes, you're not God. I said, I realize that, but I am reading Scripture. He said, and I quote, you are not to use the word hate and don't use it again while you're preaching here. So the very next Sunday, guess what the lesson was on? Proverbs, and guess how many times we use the word hate? Multiple times. Not because someone would say, well, Jerry, you little devil. No, that's not what it was. But if it's in the Bible, it's worthy of preaching. Amen? And if it's in the Bible, there is no one going to stop me from doing it. Now, here's the beautiful thing. This congregation could fire me today for preaching Scripture. I don't care. Because then I'm going to stand in the vestibule and catch them as they come in and say, here's what the Bible says. If it's in the Bible, let's use some good grammar. Ain't nothing you can do about it, is it? All right, ain't nothing you can do. And ain't nothing you'd want to do. The reality is, and I'm very serious, that is what the elder asked me to do. He said, do not ever use the word hate, and I did it at the very next service. Not to try to be mean or rebellious or disrespectful to the elder. He had his full belief in his thoughts. But if it's in the Bible, I got something to say about it, right? Well, let's take a look at it very quickly. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. Is everybody together? The Bible says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse what? Ooh. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, and he points with his fingers. Now I'm even scared to ask for the bread that's on the table after I read this passage. And I won't point, I just cannot get that. Perversity is in his heart, he devises evil how often? He also sows what? Therefore his calamity shall come pretty quick or slow. Suddenly he shall be broken and you won't be able to do what? You ain't going to be able to fix it because broken without, give me the word, remedy. Very good. Give me number 16. These six things. Now let me go back to the little elder out there. These six things the Lord dislikes. No, I dislike lima beans. No, I dislike those little beans that Mama used to make me eat every New Year. What are them things called? Black-eyed peas. And I say, Mama, you're starting my year off wrong because you're trying to make me hurl right here doing that. So no, those were never good. These six things the Lord hates. Did you notice that word, Jerry Jr.? Hates. Seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look. Everybody agree? Lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift and run into evil. A false witness who speaks lies. Uh-oh, here comes a nasty one. And one who sows discord among, thank you, Heather, one who sows discord among the brethren. Did you know that there are people in the religious world today, tighten it in, bring it in closer, Jerry, that there are people in the church today that live and breathe to create a war? Did you know that Satan has his angels in the churches today? Did you know that the devil will place people right here at James Avenue if we're not very careful? Do you understand that? And that he can place them as a neighbor, a co-worker. And if you're not careful and I'm not careful, he can place himself in our own heart. Amen? How does he do that? Well, here's how he does it, John. When I quit studying the Bible like I should, and I turn on the television, nothing wrong with TV, brothers and sisters, but when I see where it's coming on and it says rated R at the top of it, what should I do immediately? Go find something else, isn't that right? Go back to The Price is Right. I know that gets boring, but go back to The Price is Right, or let's make a deal. But when we see that one, okay, what about when we should be studying the real book, but now we're caught up in Facebook, and we're spending all that time in Facebook, and you know, you notice how people can describe themselves and make themselves look good? Did y'all know that I'm skinny in Facebook? Did y'all know that I'm gorgeous in Facebook? I'm a long way from that, John. I'm not skinny and I'm not gorgeous, but in Facebook or in on the internet, I can make myself say what I want it to say, can't I? But in the real book, you get the real life, don't we? We need to be sure that Satan is not coming into our lives through the computer, through media, through music, through all of that. I'm not up here beating people down on music. You listen to whatever you want to as long as it doesn't bring reproach upon yourself. Amen? You listen to whatever music you want to. And I had somebody told me one time when I was preaching about the wrong kind of music, said, well, what kind of music you listen to? I said, gospel. And he just stopped because it kind of ended his conversation. Well, the other said, well, I'll listen to country. I said, well, have at it. And he goes, well, do you listen to country? I said, every now and then. He goes, so the song, I'd be better off in a pine box, 6 foot under, would be better than, you know, listen to the other music. I said, it doesn't matter. I like Guns N' Roses, November Rain. Of course, y'all probably don't know anything about that, right? Heather, you do. And Darlene does. They're always like, I like it, but I ain't going to admit it. But November Rain has a song. I mean, Guns N' Roses has a song. John, you ever heard it, November Rain? See, I like him. It's my nephew. But that does not mean that I'm going to put that before God. It doesn't mean that I'm going to listen to that constantly. The reality is we need to be very careful not to let Satan in through music, through media, through Facebook, through other people. Amen? If we pack ourselves and we pack our hearts with the Word of Almighty God, that's a great protector, isn't it? And that's what I love about our Heavenly Father. In the book of Psalm, let me show you something else real quick. I know I got something else to show you here. But let's close this last route real quick. So I showed you in Proverbs chapter 6, 12 through 19, where the devil works his way in. God hates certain things. Isn't that right? And then as we close, this is your third point, final point. Then I'm going to close the lesson and we're heading out of here. God sees our heart, doesn't he? Does he see our hearts? So he knows what we're all about. Now, you may be thinking, I would be, that Jerry, all of these kind of came together as one big point. They did. But I wanted to be able to reiterate and reiterate and reiterate what was going on. So he sees their heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Bible, but you hang that over in Psalms. I'll be there in a minute. 1 Psalms chapter 16, 7, the Bible says, but the Lord said to Samuel, watch this, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. Listen, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? Thank you, Harvey, at the heart. It is so easy to see that God knows our hearts, brothers and sisters. He knows your heart. He knows mine. I love the passage of Scripture found in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, where the Bible says, blessed are the what? Why are they blessed? For they shall see who? They shall see God. Very good. Psalm 119. There's like 10,000 verses in that one. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 11. Go with me. Blessed are the undefiled in the who walk in the law of who? Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. What kind of heart? They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Number 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all of your commandments. Verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of my what? Heart. There it is again. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Watch this. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to whose word? God's word. Amen. Look at verse 10. I want you to read this part with me out loud. You give me the first four words. Ready? Go. With my whole heart. There it is. I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11. For your word I have hidden in my what? I've hidden it in my heart. See how many times the great psalmist used that word heart right there? You know why, John? Because God knows our heart, doesn't he? He knows what's in our heart, Velma. So we got to keep on making sure that it's pure. In a lesson a good while back, we used this GI G-O. You remember that? And I learned it, but I think Jared told me about it regarding computers. Garbage in, garbage out. So we've got to make sure we don't let garbage in, no garbage to come out, right? Because if we let garbage come in, then we go back. Now, this was in another lesson. We have what kind of thinking? You remember? Stinking thinking. No stinking thinking and no garbage in. That way, no garbage out. So, once again, as we close, understand that God sees everything. Amen? God knows everything. I believe that He knows if we're doing the right thing. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says for us to pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father's is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Then He knows if we're doing our part, doesn't He? Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, regarding the Great Commission, when Jesus says, go into the nations, make disciples of all these nations. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. And then He stops right there, doesn't He? He says, okay, you're done. No, that's not it at all. He says, teaching them, right? To observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I, Jesus, am with you always, even to the end of age. So, let's close. I hope today that you got something out of that. I hope today that as we leave the building, we remember that God sees it all. Amen? So, let's make sure that our life is conducive with what the Scripture says, so that upon that promised day of judgment, we'll hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Those that may decide to put Christ off again and again and again may hear the words, depart from me, for I never what? I never knew you. So today I'm encouraging you, according to Scripture, get things right. Hear His word. Well, I gave it to you today. You agreed that everything I gave you was from the Bible? And you need to believe it. You have to believe it. You must be willing to repent, change the way that you're living, start living for Jesus Christ. Make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was killed. He was buried upon the third day. He rose again. Now sits at the right hand of the Father. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. There is no other reason for the forgiveness of your sins because God said so. Amen. Not the preacher. God said so. Okay. And then we come out of that watery grave of baptism, dead to sin, alive to God. And always remember that we are indeed. Maybe today you just have another need. Maybe you're looking for a home congregation. We hope and pray that you'll come our way. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe you've been struggling in some things. You've already been baptized. You've already done those things. But I need to get my life right. I want to leave that building knowing that God sees what's in my heart. He sees everything that's going on. I want my life right, and I need the prayers of this congregation. If you have a need, any need at all, you're welcome to come right now as together we do stand and sing.